And as usual, Andy and I are waiting patiently for your home improvement type of questions, either by phone or by text. And here's the number that it will get you either, 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis, good morning to you. I know he's there.
Hey.
There he is. Denny? I was wondering if you're on the road again.
We are on the road again. We are on our way back out, and happy to say we did stop at Ben's Brick Oven Pizza, and it was spot on. It was both. Luke is with me again today, so we got another combo show, but it was the best pizza I've ever had in my life, Denny. So
no kidding.
The listeners, yeah. And Ben is has an affinity for Hennepin County. You know, he had an accident a long time ago and did all his rehab in Hennepin County, and so we got to sit there and talk with Ben a little bit, and I'm now on a text chain with our customer that and a listener that gave us the recommendation, and Ben, and just sent him some pretty cool pictures of the elk that Luke shot, and then I ended up getting one last night too. So we're bringing some meat home too, Denny.
Outstanding, and I'm glad you're safe and on the way back. You know, I was thinking about for the listeners who didn't have a chance to hear the show last week, that Andy and Luke Panic, the deck and port specialists, among other things, at Lindis, are traveling out west at the time during the show. So we had both Andy and Luke to answer any kind of a question, home improvement type. But they were on their way for a little hunting expedition out west. And a listener sent a text saying, hey, you're only 40-some miles away from this great pizza place. You got to try it. And I mean, the craziness of radio. I love how this happens. But you and Luke did indeed end up going to that pizza place. It was that good, eh?
Oh, well, I'm trying to time it out to make sure on our way back home that place is still open in order to get more of that pizza.
Right, very good. Well, in the meantime, let's pick up on some listeners' questions, either by phone or by text. Yeah, since Andy is with us and Luke Panic, if you have any particular deck questions or porch questions or any kind of home improvement question, these guys will help you out now that we have both on the line. So call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Let us grab a phone call. Beth checking in from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. Thank you, Beth. What's your question for Andy and Luke?
Hi, good morning. I am in an old low-pitch house that desperately needs gutter guards. It is the season. I'm looking at the micro mesh or the screen gutter guards because we're surrounded by river birch, and in the spring we get those tiny seeds and dunes on our roof. And I'm wondering if you have any recommendations on like how snugly that can fit to the shingles, because with what I tested, it's right up to the edge of the shingles, and I'm a little concerned about ice and water causing some damage. Do you have any tips on how to buy mesh gutter guards?
Oh, do we have tips?
Or do we have tips? One, if you're looking to try to do it yourself, it can be okay. But the recommendation I give friends and family when it comes to any type of screens, micro screens, filters, is eventually you end up having to clean out the screen or the filter and the gutters. So for me, I would choose to do nothing for leaf protection unless it was Leaf Guard. And it's really the only product that I've ever used that really does perform on handling the water, doesn't cause ice dams. You may get some icicles on the outside coming down, but it's the only one-piece seamless leaf-shedding product on the market today. And for what most people charge for filters, toppers, or covers, we replace the entire system, including the downspout, which is really, really important because how the gutters slope and where the water drains is as important as the product that you're using. Would you agree, Luke?
I would agree 100%.
Does that help you, Beth?
It does. I'm a little concerned about those tiny seeds flipping over the edge of the leaf guard. Would that be an issue?
No. Like, we have over 70,000 customers in the Twin Cities now with Leaf Guard, and we have a lifetime no-clog guarantee that says if it ever clogs, we will come out and clean it for free. And to this day, we only have one person in our service department that handles all everything. Besides the clog warranty, it's a lifetime leak warranty, a lifetime warranty against ice damage, a lifetime finish warranty. So basically, it's got a warranty that, and this is good for you and the next person that owns your home, that covers everything.
And Beth, if it helps, we've had LeafGuard gutters in our home for, I think it's close to 30 years with never a problem. And Andy and I, all the shows we've done, Andy, you said how many times have you pulled, your crews have pulled off these screens and put them in the dumpster, right?
We fill up a dumpster about every 2 weeks full of leak protection devices.
So I would really urge you to look into the LeafGuard. And in fact, if you get Linda's to come to your home, that first visit always free. They'll give you the whole lowdown. You can see how they really work. And they, boy, do they work. Beth, thank you for the call. I think you're going to love the LeafGuard if you check it out. Again, our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. I think we're going to get Ben a lot of business. I'm looking at a text, Luke and Andy. What's the name of the pizza place? What town is it in? And evidently, there's a couple of folks that are heading out in that direction. Where exactly is it? It's a little bit of a drive from the Twin Cities.
Ben's Brick Oven Pizza in Hudson, Colorado.
So is it not far from Denver?
It's basically 20 minutes on our side. Well, 20 minutes before you get to Denver, you run into Hudson, Colorado. Just past Fort Morgan, I think. Yep.
All right. Excellent. All right. These are, again, not home improvement questions, but these are important questions. I'll tell you what, let's do. I'm getting a bit of a signal in time for a quick break. And when we come back, Bob, you're going to be next on the phone, and we'll check out some other text questions as well. Any kind of a home improvement question for Andy and Luke, now's your chance, 651-461-9226. Let's see, what do we have for a temp? 63 degrees in the Twin Cities at the moment. We're heading for 73, a chance of showers today, tonight, and tomorrow. But all the way through tomorrow and the through Friday, in fact, highs are going to be about the mid-70s. So all this coming week. Again, 63 right now, News Talk 830, WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show. This morning, Andy Lindis and Luke Panic are on the road again as last week, so you got a lot of help this morning. So any kind of a home improvement question, you've got both Andy and Luke to answer those questions for you at 651-461-9226. Let's grab another phone call, guys. Bob is calling in from Hackensack, I believe, this morning. Bob, thank you for your patience. What's your question?
Yeah, say, Andy. I was just wondering, I've been seeing ads in the paper about the shingle revival. It's a spray that they spray on the roof. It's called Roof Max, and I'm just wondering what your opinion of that is.
I'm not a fan. A lot of times it affects the roofing warranty, depending on the manufacturer. And I've tested a bunch of these products, and I have yet to find one that I truly, truly believe. What the active ingredient in a lot of these chemicals is methyl ester, which comes from soybean oil. And in theory, it makes the shingle more pliable and last longer. But I think washing your roof and getting rid of the mildew and algae is important. But that once you do that, I would install a zinc strip at the top and maybe redo your ridge cap. That way that zinc strip will, if you ever look like on the venting of your roof or any type like a plumbing stack comes out, how that part of the roof looks way cleaner than the rest of the roof. And it always looks like people always mistake that algae and mildew that's growing on the roof as granular loss because it looks black. But if you see that streak, what is happening there is the flashing that is keeping that pipe from leaking is made out of galvanized steel, which is a zinc coating. That zinc oxidizes in a way that doesn't allow the mold and mildew or algae to grow beyond that part. So if you run a strip along the top of your roof, a lot of times that will do it. I really don't believe in the how the soybean oil helps the shingles. I know a lot of roofers around the country that have tried it, and I know just as many that have stopped doing it. And it's I go to these roofing seminars all the time, and or meetings or manufacturer meetings. and it's sold as like a profit center for these types of companies. It's just not something I get around, and I always lean on GAF, and I know they looked hard at RoofMax and some places, and they looked at it, or even acquiring them, I think, at one point in time, and if they decided against it, that's good enough for me not to use it.
All right. Thanks for the question. 651-461-9226. You can text it in. You can call it in, whichever is easier. Guys, here's a text. My daughter has a 20-plus-year-old 100-gallon Rheem heater, electric water heater, in her White Bear townhome. It's the large size due to the former large Whirlpool tub. She thinks she should replace the electric water heater. The text has jumped around here, so I'm not sure. What do you think about that? By the way, they love the new gutters that Linda's installed, so there's a plus there. Any suggestions they want to know for another 80 to 100 gallon electric water heater?
I'll take this one. Yeah, they make the difference between the water heaters you get now and back when this one was put in is the level of insulation that they put on them. We insulate them much better, and they're extremely energy efficient. So I would talk with the utility. Oftentimes, there's a rebate on them. If you buy the right one, you can buy them from the actual utility. And they're just insulated with like the spray foam instead of the old fiberglass. So they hold that water temperature much longer and much more efficiently. They heat them up the same way. It's still a element that warms it up, but its ability to hold that heat is far superior. And usually, like I said, the utility that you pay your electric bill to will offer one that and oftentimes has a rebate because they're so efficient.
Luke and Andy, over the years, like you said, things have changed as far as insulation goes, but is it still true that gas, natural gas, still is more efficient to heat water, or no?
That depends on what the utility offers. A lot of times they offer a discount on the electricity if they have the right water heater. So if they get the discount on the electricity for the water heater, yes. If they don't get the discount on the electric water heater, then the gas is more efficient, in my experience.
Have you ever done any of your other projects or houses, Luke, any of the on-demand stuff? Do you have any drawbacks on on-demand on these types of situations?
The newest cabin I built has a on-demand, it's called a combi boiler. It's a gas boiler, and it heats the domestic hot water, and it heats the floor heat.
Okay.
And it's amazing. I don't know how it works, but it is amazing, and it's very efficient, and there's no tank.
I have the same one installed in my shed. It heats the floor, and it's my hot water out there. And I've always thought, why am I paying to heat water I'm not using? So, I've tried to, like, make it, like, not – I've turned every hot water faucet on to see if there's a difference, and I've just never noticed it. Like, it just – even – it might shut off the floor. I think it can put energy to one way or the other when you're running your hot water, but, again, with concrete holding so much heat, it's not that big of a deal. But I don't think I've – any project I go forward, that's where I'm going to start, is with the tankless on-demand hot water heater, and work my way from there.
Does that someone choosing something like that, would the size of the family that use the hot water make a big difference?
No. I don't know why or how it works, but it instantly heats the hot water, and it supplies that hot water for as long as you run it. It doesn't need a tank. It's they're very impressive, and that technology's come a long way.
If you're just joining us, Andy's joined by Luke Panik, our deck and port specialist with Lindus. Speaking of that, what business is like this year, Luke, with people wanting three or four season porches? How busy has it been?
Well, it's been a really busy year. A lot of we've got a good backlog of porches and decks, so still a popular item. It's a more fun project to buy than having to replace your roof. It's hard to enjoy and leisure your roof, even though that's the most important one if you have a roof problem. It's a fun project to buy because it changes the way you live. So it's been a good year.
I'm looking at a text, Andy and Luke, about we were talking about gutters, and the question is, can leaf guard be installed on wide gutters that are built into the eaves? What's that about?
Sometimes gutters are built into the roof, not necessarily the eaves. Well, it is on the overhang there, and no. I don't know why they design houses that way. It makes it harder to clean. And imagine if that leaks, how much damage it can cause. So it is definitely something you have to maintain, and you should be looked at every single year, a couple times a year, because leaves drop year-round. And if something clogs in there, that's when, if you ever have standing water anywhere on your roof or your house or your gutters, that's where it's going to leak. Water will find a way to leak if it's staying inside the system. And I've seen thousands of dollars worth of damage from built-in gutters not maintained that leak into the truss systems, the soffit, the fascia, you name it. It's not my favorite type of system. I understand how aesthetically pleasing it can be. You don't have to look at the gutters, and sometimes you can hide the downspouts that way too, but I don't know. Luke, have you ever looked at and said, this is a good idea?
No. And in fact, I had a customer in Minneapolis a couple of years ago that had the built-in gutters, and we actually shortened the eave. It had a nice overhang, so we were able to shorten the eave up, remove that, put on a new fascia board, and then put up leaf guards so that the problems were behind them.
Yeah.
Because they are tough.
That was going to be my next question, of with a homeowner with that type of like this texture, can that be retrofitted? Can it be changed to use a leaf guard?
Yes, it can. It takes more preparatory work. We actually have to, you know, it has to be in conjunction with replacing the roof, essentially, because you're taking away some of the overhang. Not necessarily, but we do have to for sure replace the fascia in a way that it's prepared for the gutter. So it's they're all different, but we just have to prep for the leaf guard differently than normal eave.
All right. Hang on, Luke and Andy. We're going to take a break for that weather forecast, see what you guys are in for when you head back home, and when you get back home. Andy Lindis, Luke Panic, on the road, answering any kind of a home improvement question you may have this morning. Take advantage of it. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We are here every Saturday, thanks to Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to give them a shout if you have a project in mind, 8449-LINDUS. If you're just joining us, Andy is joined by Luke Panic. They're on the road heading back from a little hunting trip from out west. You know, what did you guys, being in the construction business, I'm sure you're looking, besides finding pizza places, you know, different types of housing, roofing. I wanted to ask you about roofing again, because we touched on it last week. What, generally speaking, what you saw out west, or what are you seeing, the type of roof, generally asphalt or a lot of metal?
You know, we saw a lot of metal, and on our way down, we stayed at this little resort town in Avon, Colorado, and they had like a almost all the roofing was like a composite shake, and I'm not sold on that stuff completely yet. We've tested a few of them, and in the wintertime especially, they can get pretty brittle. So, but I'm guessing this big resort town has a maintenance program and somebody going out on the regular and dealing with that kind of stuff. And they all had, you notice, Luke, that they all had snow slides built into them too. I'm guessing because of how much snow they get. But I'm assuming that those composite shingles and composite slate allows the snow to come off the roof a little bit faster than ordinary shingles, similar to metal.
Yeah, and those little fingers sticking up that prevent the snow from avalanching.
Yeah.
What are snow slides? What does that look like?
Well, imagine all of the snow on your roof coming off in like an avalanche. And I've heard of people, you have to worry about this with metal roofing and composite shingles. And I for instance, I had a customer in Rochester that had a customer. It was a mechanic's place, and a customer used the service door that they're not supposed to. When he came out of the building, he shut the door. The snow slide came down. He was buried in a snowbank, and he broke his hip. So in my metal roofs, what happens is I don't get to the pile fast enough, so it freezes over like an ice, and now I'm chiseling out a pile of snow in front of a door. because, you know, we always try to do it without snow bars, and then we put the snow bars up. But Luke put on a textured metal roof recently. I'll let him explain what his experience is on that.
Yeah, so I did a newer metal made from CMG that has a texture to it, and instead of it being completely smooth, it has a little bit of texture. Not entirely different than the texture that's on a LeafGuard gutter, kind of similar to that texture. And what happened was, this was on that Lake Vermilion property, and it has a super long one slope direction roof, and some of those panels were 56 feet long. So I was extremely worried about the snow sliding off this roof and hurting people coming in and out of the front door. And that texture, the snow stuck to that texture and never slid off the roof. And we had a lot of snow last winter.
Mm-hmm.
It never slid off the roof once. And I had already started putting up the snow bars to prevent it. And so and now I'm debating whether to put the snow bars up or not. Snow bars are another way of avalanche protection from that snow sliding off. I don't know if I'm going to put them up or not, but that texture made all the difference in the world. So I think the moral of the story is the texture of the roof has a big impact on what happens with the snow. The shingles are very, because of that coarse granule hole, we don't have that issue with shingles because they're so coarse, but different textures of roof, depending on where you are and how the sun hits it, can be dangerous for sure. And certainly a nuisance if the snow slides in front of your overhead garage door. And like Andy's saying, if you don't get to it right away and that snow gets a chance to freeze hard, you get that little ridge right in front of where you're trying to get in and out of the garage. A real pain in the neck, so you gotta get a handle on it.
Here's a question we get, Andy and Luke, especially Luke, you know this. Should I be shoveling snow off my deck every winter?
Yeah, if you can, it's a good idea. It's not a requirement for the structural integrity of the deck. If it's built to structural, minimum standard, it should hold any amount of snow. That really shouldn't be an issue for weight. But I like to get the snow off the deck myself if I can, or if I can talk one of my sons into doing it, because it's not a fun job by any means. But it is a good idea if you can, but you don't have to stress about it if you're not going to hurt the deck by it staying there.
By leaving
there. What I like best about our decking is the hidden fasteners. So once I replace my deck with our new decking, my cedar deck to our composite decking, I got the hidden fasteners, because when I would shovel off my cedar deck, I'd run across a screw and it'd turn the snow shovel into a pole vault and knock the wind out of myself a couple of times.
Yeah. I've been there for sure. A listener also wants to know, briefly, it's a rather large paragraph, but Luke, as you know, Andy talks from different shows about the maintenance program. Maybe you could both talk about the Lindus maintenance program for those that have not heard of it.
Yeah, you know, I've been in conversations with Jake Miller, who's running our maintenance program. He's, you know, been with us for 18, 19 years. He's actually that lead crew that did the windows inside your house, installed the windows inside your house, Denny.
All right.
He is one of the smartest craftsmen I've had the opportunity to be around, and he has been sending me videos and on what needs to maintain and what he is doing, and we're running into a variety of things, and we're running into some manufacturers that have some warranty problems. Most people don't know how to adjust their windows and doors or lock their windows and doors properly sometimes. And what people have to understand, like when it comes to your windows, especially when they're left unlocked, they're not at their most energy efficient. As you lock them, it's a cam that gets wider as the lock goes typically. And like on a casement window, there's three things that actually pull that window into the frame. So the bulb seal gets compressed, and that's going to be your most energy efficient window out there. So as we get to this time of year, it's really, really important that we go around and make sure all of those things. When it comes to doors, I haven't lived in a house yet. Maybe I'm in it. I'm notorious for being hard on doors. I slam them. I'm not easy on them, but most of my doors that get used regularly need some type of adjusting, at least maybe yearly or every other year. And if you're not doing those types of things, that's just, again, it's an education process. Besides all the caulking that's failing, flashing that's failing, roof debris that it hasn't been dealt with. So a variety of things that we're getting, and we're, one of the things that's included in our maintenance program is a 3D image of your home, We have a technology that if we take enough pictures, we're going to create a 3D image of our home that then you're always able to call us so we can show you what this color siding looks like or what these windows are. You're going to know the exact square footage of siding that you have, the exact square footage of roofing that you have, every window and door opening. So it's just a nice piece of information to have as you go forward, and a guide to buying homeowners insurance, which I think is really important, especially nowadays. And I don't want to offend anybody, people in the home insurance industry, but there's been dramatic changes to that industry in the last 2 years. And if you have not talked to your agent about what your coverage is in the last 2 years, I would highly recommend that you make that phone call and talk to your agent. No matter what letters have been sent to you, no matter what you've signed recently, just ask the questions of, like, what is covered? Do I have an ACV or an RCV family and cosmetic damage? Because I've gone to houses this year. Luke's gone to houses this year. All my salespeople have gone to houses this year that have metal siding, roofing, or gutters that have dents in it, and the insurance companies are refusing to cover anything because they don't cover cosmetic damage. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. As long as it's functioning, they're not putting that coverage on there. That's not every insurance policy, but enough of them out there that and there's enough surprise customers that didn't know they had that I think it's important that we talk about it.
All right. You brought up the subject of windows, and I see a listener wanted to ask you and Luke, how do you wade through all the commercials? They're referencing TV commercials in this case. How do we wade through this and know that we're looking at a good product and not just marketing? What do you look for in a window?
That's a really good question. And I can tell you this. I've tested, before we settled on Season Guard, I looked at, I think, 18 companies. You should have seen my conference room, Denny. It was more window samples in that conference room than there is at any big box store when we were going through it. And I settled on Season Guard. And then we looked at Infinity. What made sense is the fiberglass and the glass expand and contract at very similar rates. So it made a lot of sense to me that the frame and the glass are made out of similar things. So the lack of seal failure. And I can tell you, looking at our analytics on service calls that we have with Marvin Infinity Window compared to all of the other brands that we've used, and it's not even close, Denny. We have to service right now 2.5% of our Infinity Window jobs, and every other window that we've ever installed, like if you combine all the other ones, it's more like 16%. So, and if you look at the last 10 years of installing, we've installed about 90% of it has been Infinity by Marvin. So I really, truly believe in that window. And, you know, triple pane is nice in theory, but we have way more frost up problems on triple pane. I believe triple pane was designed to, you know, my uncle always used to say, this lure catches more fishermen than it does fish. And I think that's where triple pane windows are, where it's designed as a sales tactic more so than an actual thing that works great. The only thing it does really well on is sound deadening. But when it comes to thermal energy and your solar heat gain and your condensation rating, I don't like it, because I think that if the cold goes through triple pane from the outside pane to the inside pane faster, because it can transfer, especially if you have a couple of days below zero. And I have Season Guard windows out there. One of the maintenance program ones that we did, like, it's triple pane, it's sealed up perfect. It's a perfect install. And there's some frost up that happens on the bottom of the glass. And if you don't deal with that and you got wood trim, chances are your wood trim's going to suffer from that as that frost melts.
Speaking of trim and just the material, because, you know, Marvin makes such a great product, and they have for so many years. What is that Infinity window made of? And do you like the material that surrounds the glass?
Yeah, it what's unique about the Marvin, or that I love about it, it's made out of a material that they call Ultrex, which is a pultruded fiberglass. And it's extremely rigid and strong compared to vinyl. It looks similar when you touch the product and feels similar, but when you go to flex it and bend it, it's ridiculously strong. So especially on larger windows, when you've got bigger frames and longer lineals that they use to make the window, they stay true. When you go to close that casement window, it stays true. It seals all the way around evenly. I have season guard windows in my house because at that time we didn't have Infinity when I built my house in Star Prairie. And I've had to replace, you know, half a dozen sashes, and it's a good insulated window. But on the bigger windows with those longer profiles, the vinyl is just flimsy in comparison. So that's why that material that Marvin makes is so impressive, is because it's not huge and bulky, but it's really, really strong. And where we live, with the dramatic temperature changes that we have, it's got to hold up to all the humidity and temperature change, and it just does a better job of that compared to vinyl. Vinyl expands and contracts quite a bit, and like Andy was saying, at a different rate than the glass. So I think that's the nuts and bolts of the window itself are really impactful on how they perform.
Yeah, good stuff. Guys, hang on. If you're just joining us, Andy Lynn is joined by Luke Panic there on the way back from out west. Still answering any kind of home improvement question. Could be about decks, porches, roofing, siding, windows, gutters. We've had them all, and we'll continue to do so. We still have time for yours. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We're here every Saturday on CCO in the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Linda's Construction. Again, if you have a project in mind, maybe you want to find out more about that maintenance program. Maybe you need new windows. You give them a call. Very easy, 844-9-LINDUS, 844-9-L-I-N-D-U-S. In the meantime, our remaining minutes of the show, Andy Lindus and Luke Panic are on the road helping you out with any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Let's grab a phone call, guys. Jerry is calling in from Lake City, I believe, this morning. Thank you, Jerry. What is your question for Andy and Luke?
We just have a house where the casement windows haven't been opened for years. They seem awful stiff. What do we use to lubricate them?
I've never had to lubricate a window. What type of windows are they? Are they casement crankouts or sliders or double hones?
They're casement crankouts, and the mechanism just seems awful stiff and sticky or something.
I believe there's a grease that you're supposed to use, like gear grease, not a lubricant, not like a WD-40 or a silicone spray. It's a grease that goes in there, but chances are they haven't been operated in a while. What kind of windows are they? Are they wood or vinyl or?
I think they're wood.
Yeah, sometimes those mechanisms and the hardware can get changed. Depending on the brand of window, you may be able to do some repairs to make them work better. And again, that's something that we do pretty regular at Lindus Construction. A lot of the hardware for all window manufacturers come from like one or two spots around the country. So most of the hardware is very easily sourceable on the cranks. And every brand of window that has a crank out, they strip out because they get rough over time. And a lot of times it's the installation of the window that's the problem, or the window itself is the problem, not the crankout. It's stripping out the crankout because there's something going on with the window. Either it's warped or it's just hard to work. Like, how old are the windows?
No idea.
I know my dad was a carpenter for, well, he still is, 50-some years. He carries around a bottle of it's called household oil. It's in a little can that you buy at the hardware store. And he was just up at one of our cabins and using that oil on a lot of different things, and it really works well, especially at doors that the hinges squeak, and you drive off the pin and oil it and put the pin back in, all of a sudden it's nice and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good product that I've used. It's been in our family for a long time. Just a little metal can, and it's called household oil. I'm not sure what kind of oil it is. There's a lot of different greases out there, too. I remember Josh, I used to run our window department, would recommend lithium grease, which I don't know exactly what that is. I've never seen it, but he recommended oiling windows with that, or greasing windows for mm-hmm. slide where they slide in tracks and stuff,
yep.
too. that's what I've used, and then metal parts like that, that household oil works really well.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck with that, Jerry. Thank you. I'm looking at the text messages. Well, we probably won't get to all of them. Greetings, Texas says, is it normal for a vinyl window when locked to still have up and down movement?
No.
What's going on there, do you think?
There can be some play in it, I guess, but there shouldn't be a lot. When they're locked together, when they're together, the whole thing together will have some amount of play in it, for sure. It has to, otherwise,
because of the expansion
and the contraction, it does have to have a little bit of play. So when they're locked and you lock it and you lift on the rail and together they move up and down a 16th or an eighth of an inch, that's, I'm sure, has to have that amount of space for movement. That's one of the reasons that they're just not as tight of a window, because they have to allow for that expansion and contraction. The Infinity has much less of that, so they can build them tighter to begin with. It doesn't have to have that tolerance, so to speak. So if it's extreme, if it's a half inch or 3/8 of an inch, if that whole thing is moving, then I'd say, yeah, something's wrong.
Okay. I think we have time for one more, and this kind of jumps around. Let me see if I can't piece the text together. Have a wood deck that we have stained a few times, needs to be redone again, but the boards, in my opinion, Texter says, were installed too close, and now debris have filled in those gaps. I've tried to hose it off, but it's so packed in there. Is there like a paint stripper I could pour on those cracks, or is there another product that would work to get rid of the junk? Too late in the season, do any staining or painting. We'll have to wait till next year's project. What do you think about that? What can you do about what this person thinks the boards are too close?
Well, what has happened is the boards have swelled up a little bit. Maybe it was gapped properly when they did it, but the boards have swelled and it makes it tight. And this is a fresh topic for me, because even on my deck at my house, and I have a wood deck at one of our cabins, I had to wash it. I sent you pictures, Denny, of me washing the deck.
Yeah.
Like before and after. But that's the easy part. The hard part is you got to get that organic material, leaves and debris and stuff that get between the boards and caught and sit on top of the joist. It's important to clean that stuff out. When that organic material gets there and holds moisture on the top of the joist, it can make the top of the joist soft. So it's a painstaking process, but I use anything from a putty knife to a slotted screwdriver. You've got to scrape that stuff out and get it away from there so that there's air moving between there so it can dry out and be stable. I don't have a product to suggest other than the cleaning, solutions, but that's not going to get the debris out. That's a manual labor of love to get that stuff out and, do 10 boards a night and call it good, and to do 10 more tomorrow, and eventually it's all done. But that really should be done every year on everybody's deck. Even with composite decking, the material gets trapped between those boards. You really should clean those gaps out. If you can get it out with a pressure washer, that sometimes works too. But oftentimes it's stuff that's just the pressure washer won't get in there and get it out. So you got to manually do it.
All right, guys, we have 30 seconds to go. Andy, give us the September deals at Lindus, and then we'll let you guys drive on and talk next week. But how about those September deals?
Right now we're still running a free labor on the installation of Leaf Guard gutters, GAF asphalt roofing, and Infinity windows by Marvin. And that's a continuation of our State Fair promo. It will end October 1st, so long as you have your estimate booked before October 1, you're going to get the best deal of the year.
Outstanding. Well, you guys have a safe rest of the trip. It was fun chatting while your guys are heading back home. Glad you're safe. And Andy and Luke, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, Danny. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Luke. Yeah, they're on the way back from a little hunting trip out west. We are on our way out of here. In the meantime, forecast showers possibly today. But in the meantime, 73 the high. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Ryan. 63 degrees here on CCO.